Welcome back, listeners. We are diving straight into Chapter 68 of Dungeons & Drams, titled Borrowed Time.
And let me tell you, Art, this chapter title was doing a lot of heavy lifting. It felt like everything was on borrowed time. Memories, lives, even the villains.
Absolutely. It's a chapter that starts with interior design crimes and ends with one of the most heartbreaking mercy kills we've seen in the campaign.
Talk about tonal whiplash. But let's start where the party starts. On the floor, surrounded by dead rugs.
Right, we just finished the mimic fight, and Doug Woolwine, our sorcerer, gets hit with draconic foresight. But it's not just a hunch, he essentially hallucinates a memory from 2,000 years ago.
I love how Doug's visions are becoming this narrative device. He sees Avira and Kadavix back in the glory days of Ethryn, and we find out the secret to defeating the rug mimics.
Tickling them.
You have to tickle the rugs, specifically under the primary pseudopod. If the apprentices had just known that, they wouldn't be losing hands to Shay's lounges.
It adds such a weird domesticity to these high magic archmages. Oh, the furniture is alive. Just scratch it behind the ear. Meanwhile, back in the present, Tuki is literally harvesting the rug carcasses.
Tuki is never not hustling. He sees dead mimics and thinks, I can mix this with Yeti glands. But my favorite part was Hirax standing over a shredded pink rug and mourning the color choice. A crime against interior design, he calls it.
The paladin of vengeance against bad decor. But the levity stops pretty abruptly when they head upstairs.
Yeah, they walk into a scene that looks too good to be true. It's the vision brought to life. Avira is there, Kadavix is plugged into some machine, and everything is suspiciously comfortable.
Delnis, having a background involving sirens, clocks it immediately. Comfort is a trap. And then the reveal drops. It's not Avira, it's an Oblex.
For those who aren't knee-deep in the Monster Manual, are break down the Oblex, because this thing is terrifying.
It's basically intelligent psychic slime created by mind flayers. It consumes memories. It can perfectly replicate people it has eaten, acting as a tethered duplicate. And this one has been starving in a fallen city for millennia.
That establishes the theme right there, hunger and memory. It tricked Kadavix, which is tragic in its own right, drained him, and now it wants the party. The way the DM described the psychic pressure on Delnis was intense, like the deep sea trying to crack a clamshell.
Delnis, holding the line with his ring of mind shielding, was clutch, but the Oblex didn't play fair. The fight mechanics here were brutal. It wasn't just doing damage, it was literally deleting parts of their character sheets.
This is what I wanted to deep dive into, the mechanics of memory loss. Doug gets hit, and he loses a childhood memory of dancing in a meadow. Mechanically, maybe he loses a stat or a proficiency, but narratively, he loses the source of his grace.
It questions identity, doesn't it? If you lose the memory of why you move the way you move, are you still the same person? And then Hirax. Oh man, Hirax.
That hurt. Hirax loses the specific memory of Tuki saving him from the rubble in Grimskala, the moment he learned to protect the small. The Oblex cauterized the root of his oath.
Which makes the twist even more stressful because while Hirax is reeling from losing his connection to Tuki, Tuki himself gets charmed.
Full on mind control. The Oblex tosses Tuki around like a ragdoll, then convinces the gnome, I am your friend. And Tuki points that blunderbuss of warning right at Hirax.
The irony is palpable. The creature eats the memory of their bond and then forces one of them to kill the other. But Hirax proves something important here. Faith isn't just memory, it's instinct. He attacks anyway.
He drove the Holy Avenger right into the goo core. Game over for the slime. And thankfully, Tuki snaps out of it before he blasts his paladin friend.
But the victory rings hollow immediately, because they find the real Avira.
This was the gut punch. The Oblex wasn't just mimicking her, it was guarding her. She was hidden behind a bookcase, kept alive by a crown of timeless body. She's barely breathing, totally vegetative. Her mind was wiped clean.
Kadavix's reaction here is devastating. He's spent thousands of years as an undead warlock trying to get back to her, and she's just a shell. The borrowed time title comes crashing down.
She realizes the only mercy is to let her go. Evira has a moment of lucidity when they remove the crown, just enough to thank them and give them the next step of the rite. Step 4. Coax a secret from another.
And Katavix provides the 7th step. Trace a circle with the ashes of the dead. So they got what they came for, but at a massive cost.
And then Katavix, well, he checks out. He knows his watch is ended. He gives his remaining life force to heal Doug and just collapses. It's the end of a 2,000-year love story, and it ends in silence.
It ties into that recurring theme of Dungeons and Drams. Magic doesn't fix everything. Sometimes magic just prolongs the suffering. The crown kept her body, the lichdom kept Katavix, but they both lost their lives eons ago.
Exactly. Borrow time always has to be paid back. I think the party walked away from this one physically successful, but emotionally absolutely drained.
I wonder if Doug or Herax will ever get those memories back, or if those pieces of them are just digested.
With an Oblex, usually when the monster dies, the memories die with it. They might be permanently altered by this. But hey, at least they know how to handle aggressive rugs now.
Gotta find the silver lining somewhere. That's all for Chapter 68. Join us next time as the party, presumably very traumatized, moves deeper into the necropolis.